Okay, Joshua. Joshua chapter 12. I'm sorry, I think 11. Joshua chapter 11. And whenever you find Joshua 11, right?
And go. Yes. Nice. Yes. Magic. Doesn't exist. Joshua 11. Now our passage, if you looked in our bulletin, was the rest of chapter 11 and then all of chapter 12. Don't worry, we won't read it all right now. But you'll see why that's our passage tonight. We're starting in verse number 16. You remember what happened in the first part of chapter 11 is God led Joshua and Israel to take really the rest of Canaan. They had already taken the southern part of Canaan, and now this was their northern campaign. And now we're done. If you look at verse 16, and Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country and all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain and the mountain of Israel and the valley of the same, even from the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-gad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. It's interesting that sometimes it says God did it and sometimes it says Joshua did it, but really we understand it's both, right? God will use us as we follow him, and that's exactly what happened in this case. Verse 18, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings, and there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts, and that they should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them, as the Lord commanded Moses. And at that time came Joshua, and cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron to Debir, from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. And there was none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel, only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod there remained. Verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. Amen. Now verse 12, just read verse 1. Now these are the kings of the land, which the children of Israel smote and possessed their lands on the other side Jordan toward the rising of the sun from the river Arnon until Mount Hermon and all the plain of the east. And then for the rest of the chapter, it just lists kings that they smote. We'll say this in the course of preaching, but chapters 1 through 11 didn't mention all these kings. Obviously, it mentioned some of them, but really what this is just a comprehensive list of all the victories that God read. And they're important, and they're worth reading. We're just not going to read them as we're standing. Amen? But in the eyes of the people that would have read this book, it was a big deal to read the list of the names and of the victories that God gave to Israel. And so we'll end our reading there. The message tonight is this. Look back and see what God has done. Look back and see what God has done. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you so evidently worked in the life of Joshua, in the life of Israel. And Lord, the amazing and incredible things that we've seen as we've gone through this great book and watched as they took the land. And God, we can say thank you personally as we look back and see what you've done. At Valley Avenue Baptist Church, and just in our personal life, you're still a God who does great and mighty things. And we're just amazed by how you work, and we're thankful. Help us, Lord, to tonight just pause and take time to consider that as we get into this message tonight. We love you. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you again for standing. And so we made it, finally. Joshua and Israel, they took a lot of land. They took all of Canaan. And I'll just say this over and over again in our passage. We said this that they took all the land, And you might say, well, what about chapter 13, where whenever it says that there's still much land to be possessed? And it's true. We made this point last week that it's not a contradiction. It's that God helped Joshua and Israel to take the land that God had for them to take. That's how it works, right? And as in the Christian life, in the life of Israel, in the life of the nation, it's not like this was the last of the wars they'd fight. It's not like this is the last of the land they would take. But if you think about the nation Israel as a long race, a baton race, you know what I'm saying, with legs of the race, they had run their leg of the race as far as taking land. And we in chapter 13, we'll find that Joshua is nearing the end of his life. And God has used Joshua and to take the land that God intended for Joshua to take. And it was a lot of land. It was a lot of land. They fought battles that ranged from border to border. And we kind of watched, didn't we? And the major highlights of those battles, from south to north and from east to west, taking the land. And they took all of Canaan there. And the Bible says that it took a long time. If you look at verse 18, Joshua made war a long time. And I tried to find out what that time would have been. We just don't know. Scholars usually land at around 7 years of fighting. You can imagine 7 years of battle after battle after battle. And last time, if you were here, we read that it was kind of like this. They would have a big, large battle, and they'd have the combined armies, and God did some amazing things, and then they would go and take city after city after city, and then they'd return home, and they almost think, okay, it's time to rest here where's it at? Where's the place? Where they go past, and they go to what's the city? My brain is losing it. What? Gilgal, thank you. Gilgal. So they'd go back to Gilgal, and they leave Gilgal, fight some battles, and God lets them go back, and they think they're going to rest. Nope. The next day, almost, immediately, we hear of other kings taking their chance to come and try to destroy Israel. And for 7 long years, it's been battle after battle after battle, a long and drawn-out process. And that's kind of how it is, isn't it, as we live the Christian life. God didn't bring them over the Jordan River and just say, here's the land, it's yours. And then they just walked in and possessed the land. No, it's not like that. When you follow God, victorious Christian living looks like this. Battle after battle after battle after battle. And it can get tiring. We read that last time. We dealt with that last time. And so it was years and years of fighting, and they've made it to the end. The other thing about it is, if you look in verse number 19, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in battle. And so there is nothing but opposition. As they're going through this land, and as they're fighting for God, and as they're taking the land, they face constant fighting, constant opposition for this entire time. And you remember that as Israel took the land of Canaan, it was a time of victory for Israel, but at the same time, it was a time of judgment for Canaan, right? You remember that? Canaan, part of the reason why God sent Israel when he sent them is that God gave them 400 years, the Canaanites, gave them 400 years to repent, and they didn't. In fact, not only did they not repent, but they continued to actively oppose and reject God. And this was the time for God to pour out his judgment on Canaan. And God used Israel to do that. And so simultaneously giving Israel victory and at the same time bringing judgment on Canaan. And so there was nothing but opposition. There was nothing but opposition. There was no peace through all of this. The only one who made peace with Israel were the Gibeonites. And we know how that went. The way they found peace is by swindling Israel, right? And by tricking them and deceiving them. And so each battle was hard fought, is what I'm saying. There was no help. They fought hard, but God gave victory, right? And remember we said, God promised victory, and God said he would fight the battles, and so they fought the battles. And they fought the battle, and God fought the battle. And throughout the book, we said this, and we mentioned this, that sometimes it says that God gave the victory, sometimes it says that God fought, sometimes it said that Joshua won the victory and that Joshua fought, sometimes it said that Israel won the victory and Israel fought, and all three are true, right? And as we're living for God, it does. It's tiring at times. It's step by step by step. But God is really, as we understand, the one who ultimately will do it. He's the one that will give the victory. And that's how it is when you follow God. It's the life of sanctification. It seems sometimes that you've been fighting forever, and it seems like you've been facing nothing but opposition. But as you look, listen, as you look back and see the land that God has given you, and you remember the time that God brought you through battle and by battle, and you remember the opposition, and you remember the forces that were brought against you, and the seemingly impossible fights that God led you in, and that God gave you victory, you look back and you see this. God did that. God did that. There's no way you could have done all that on your own. There's no way Israel could have fought the combined armies of the Amorites on their own. There's no way Israel could have fought the combined armies in the south and the king of Hazor, Jabin, and his armies on their own. There's no way that they could have called hailstones the way it happened and stopped the sun for 24 hours. No, as they look back and see all that was done, it was hard, it was long, but it was blessed and it was victorious. Why? Because God did it. God did it. And it's pretty cool. And it took them time. I want to say this. Sanctification is not a one-time decision. Becoming the Christian that God wants you to be and growing into the person that God intends for you to be, as we said this from the beginning, you're here and Canaan's over there, and there's the Jordan River, and you getting to where God intends for you to be is not a one-time at the altar thing. It first starts, doesn't it? The life of sanctification, the life of living for God, starts with trusting that God will do it. It starts with surrender, right? And really, that's what it takes. Every battle takes that. Every battle, our job is to be surrendered to God. As we live the life God has for us, and as we look at the life God calls us to, and this morning as we finished that sermon that Jesus delivered, that sermon on the plain, and as he laid out what it looks like to be a disciple of Christ, and we see the demands that come on the life of a Christian and what God expects from us, as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, as we look at a life surrendered to God, when we see that, we know this. We can't do that. Right? We can't be that. As we look at heroes of the faith like David and Daniel and others, and what God used, Joshua and Moses, and we see the faith of these men and the way God used them, as we're standing over here, we want to be used by God that way, and we want to walk a life that way, and we see other men of God and women that are following the Lord, and we say, I want that, but I am not that. And you're not going to do that on your own. To get there, it takes two things. Surrender, and then a willingness to take step by step by step. And we cannot judge our Christian life based upon anybody else's Christian life. Our Christian life is based on two things. Are you fully surrendered to God? Is your heart desperately want to be what God wants you to be? Do you realize that you cannot do that on your own? And are you taking the next step? Because when you surrender to God, and when you say, God, anything you want from my life, it's yours. And when you say, God, I can't win, I can't take the land that you have for me. I can't take Canaan land. I can't be who you want me to be. I need you to do it. And you realize how weak you are, and you realize how strong your God is when you surrender that way. Here's what God will do. He'll show you Jericho. And then you need to go to Jericho. And so your Christian life is not based on how far into this journey you are. Your Christian life and the success of a Christian life is two things. Are you surrendered fully to God? And are you taking the next step? That's all we can focus on. The next step. And God will reveal to you what you need to conquer next. Whether that's an attitude thing, whether that's a thought process, whether that's getting in your Bible every day, whether that's being faithful to church, whether that's beginning to tithe, whatever it is, God will work in your heart. And He'll give you, this is primarily how God works, the next step. He typically reveals one thing, and He reveals it clearly if you're really wanting to live the life God has for you. Aren't you thankful God doesn't unload on you everything you need to do all at one time? Aren't you glad God didn't gather all the armies of all of Canaan and went after Joshua that way? That would have been overwhelming. But that's not how God works. It's step by step by step. Battle by battle by battle. And if you think about it in the course of Canaan, there are really little steps. But if you look at just the step, it feels like a pretty intense battle, right? And that strain sometimes can get us thinking wrong. To think, I've been fighting so hard, and all I have here is Jericho and Ai. I feel like I've been at this for a long time. No, stop. No, listen. God's given you victory over Joshua and Ai. Let's praise God for that. Stop thinking about all the battles that you have ahead of you. Focus on the next battle God has for you. What is it that God is stirring your heart about that says, no, this right here, this belongs to me, and you need to surrender this right here to me? And how do you eat an elephant anyways? One bite at a time. Doesn't sound delicious, but it can be done if you eat it one bite at a time. And this is the way that God deals with people. And this is the way, listen, this is the way that true change happens. Step by step by step. And as you follow God, it's step and you change. Make this change and that change and that change and that change. And you look back and all of a sudden you're pretty far along. But that's also how the devil works. This is how true change happens, and he knows that. And he doesn't throw a life of addiction and homelessness and he doesn't bring you straight to destruction. He tells you one step, and he makes that step look really, really good, doesn't he? And that's how he does it. That's how he gets in, and he says, you know what? Church isn't really that important. You have to go that many times a week. I mean, come on. It's Sunday, the morning worship. That's all you need? What's the deal with, what, are you in a cult? Going to church four times a week? And he's like, you know, if you just give them Sunday morning, that'll be enough. Well, I mean, come on. Do you have to read your Bible every single day? I mean, you know what the Bible says. Just watch, you know, some Christian movie. And you'll be fine. You know, just think about it. And it's just little steps, isn't it? Little steps. That guy over there, he's, I know, he's not Christian. I get it. But he's nice. And you're not doing anything wrong. You're just talking to him. And you're just spending time with him. And you're just going to his house, and you're just, and right, and eventually you're here, and you have no idea how you got here. But if you stop really, listen, if you stop really, and you look back, and you think hard enough, you can see the little steps that brought you here. And what you need to focus on is not looking so far ahead. You need to be looking at this next step. What is happening right here? Is God calling me to be in church less? Is God calling me to be with a non-Christian person? Is God calling me to do this? The next step is vital because the next step leads you to where you're going. And that can go the good way or a bad way. But true change always is step by step. I'm nervous for Christians who say, I'm going to surrender to God, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to come to every service, which is good, but I'm going to be in choir, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go to this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm pumped! I'm going to do everything! And then usually the ones that jump head over heels from the start, they're gone. It doesn't take long. Because true change is typically step by step by step. Let's slow down. Let's start reading our Bible every day. Let's be faithful to church for a little while. You know? Let's get involved incrementally, and let's let this change happen in you. I'm nervous that there's sometimes Christians who jump so fast, so hard, and I'm wondering if it's just because they want to look like the ones who truly have been a disciple for years and years and years, and they want that image, but that there hasn't been true change on the inside, and they're just trying to make all these changes on the outside, and it doesn't take long before Jesus says the plants that sprout up fast really have no roots, and then they've taken no time to grow down and establish a root system, and they grow straight up, and they get top heavy, and they fall down. True change is incrementally step by step by step. But here's the problem with that. As we're following God, step by step by step, sometimes it feels like it takes forever, right? It seems like it can take forever. And every once in a while, it's good for us, as we're thinking that way, and thinking, man, am I growing at all? To stop and look back and see what God has done. And see and remember where you were before you started this journey of sanctification. And remember the battles that you fought. Remember the victories that God gave. And remember what happened in between where you were and where you are. We saw along the way, didn't we, that God had him set all these piles of stones and all of these monuments, because we need to periodically, and we need to often look back and remember what God has done and just be faithful to fight the next battle. Fight the next battle. Along the way, as they were doing this and as they were following God, they won a lot of victories, but they won some victories that they needed to fight for a long time. Look in verse number 21. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims. Do you remember the Anakims? Do you know who they are? Do you remember when Moses led them out of Egypt, and they went to Mount Sinai, and then God brought them pretty much beeline to Canaan land? And when they got to Canaan land, they sent in the spies, right? And there were two spies that saw the land, and they thought, we got this. We don't got this, but God does. And yeah, there's some pretty powerful people there. There are giants in the land. And as we know, giants can only be defeated with God's help. Because the giants are so strong and powerful and scary. And you're going to see that in about 3 weeks. You'll see. But anyway, so they saw the giants and they were scared. 10 of them were. 10 were bad. And 2 were good. 10, bad. 2, good. But the giants, they were called the Anakims. They were the ones that when Joshua and Caleb saw them, they knew God can handle that. But Israel saw them and said, we can't do it. Well, you're right. You can't do it. But God could do it. God could handle it. So this has been a battle for Israel since way back then. And a battle that they looked at and they thought, we can't handle that. And they avoided the battle. And along the way, as in your life of sanctification, there's going to be certain things that you just have decided. And that's really where the battle is in your mind. You have decided, this thing, I can't handle it. I'm not touching that. I'm not going to think about that. Yeah, I know eventually God wants me to do that, but I can't do it. You need to do it. Right. It's part of the land. There are areas in your life that you feel are impossible to overcome. Maybe some things that have happened in your past that have shaped the way you think today. Maybe some attitudes that you have that it's just always been the way you have been. Maybe it's some relationships that you need to get right. Whatever it is, they look like giants. They look undefeatable. But with God, you can do it. And along the way, it doesn't say here when exactly, but they cut off the Anakins. Amen. And God did that. And listen, you might be right now, you might have some fights that you have been needing to fight for a long time. And as you follow God and take step by step by step and look back and see what God has done, I hope that you can take that and find the faith and courage in God to say, the God who has brought me this far, if He wants me to face the Anakims, then we can face the Anakims. I don't know what that is in your life. But if God wants you to fight them, you can fight them. See, this isn't about your ability. Do you remember when God sent hailstones and God stopped the sun for 24 hours? God can fight those battles for you. But you do have to go fight those battles, trusting that God will fight the battles. Why? Because God promised He would. God promised He would. And so they defeated the Anakims. Let me get to verse 23. And it says, so Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And so it's over. It's done. The battles have been fought. The victories have been won. And now it's time for them to enjoy what God has given them as a nation. We're going to start getting into that. Chapter 13, chapter 12, like as we said, is just going back and detailing a catalog of every fight that they fought. Again, not every fight here was mentioned in chapters 1 through 12. Joshua would be a lot longer if it went through every battle. And you know, but it is important along the way that you look back. And I would keep a journal, maybe a victory journal or something. But it's good for you to look back and remember specifically and with detail what God has done. And you know what that'll do? That'll keep you on that same path going forward. But if you start forgetting all of the battles, even the little ones that God has done in your life, you might start to feel like you're wasting your time. And you just start going that way or that way. You see? And so it's good for you to periodically, if you're feeling in a logjam, you feel like you're not really growing, if you feel like you've not really done anything, if you're feeling that way, it could be that maybe you're not. It could be that. Maybe you have been stagnant. Maybe you have been stale. But I will say this, that oftentimes following God is more day by day, and it's more of a grind at times. And in those times of a grind, what will be good for you is to stop focusing on what you're battling right now and look back and see what God has done. And that'll help you to stay on the path. And God will bring you to a place where one day it'll be done. And you'll be like Joshua, old and stricken in years. I know that feeling. Amen. Look back on your life. But you look back on your life, one day you'll get there though. One day you'll get there and you'll be at the end and you'll look back and you'll see what God did. And you're like, man, right there I didn't really know what was happening, what God was doing. It didn't make a lot of sense to me. But I'm glad I was just faithful. I'm glad I just fought the next battle. And I fought the next battle because, man, it's awesome what God has done from there to where we are. And that's where we want to be, right? Or you'll be over here and thinking, man, I didn't understand what was happening right there. And I stopped trusting God. And here I am. You don't want that. You don't want that. Now, God can give you grace and He can jump you right back over here. But there's going to be some regret along the way. And so all of that is affected back here in the grind. And as you're following God and it becomes a grind, you just keep fighting the battles step by step by step. And if you're not careful, you'll begin taking steps that way. If you're not taking steps that way, you will be taking steps that way or that way. You're going to be taking steps. Keep fighting the battles God has for you. And you just watch. As God changes your heart, changes your desires, changes your life, gives you victory after victory after victory. You can enjoy what God has for you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the clarity of it. Thank you, God, that you do show us the grace to bring us through this process step by step. Help us to not run ahead of you. Help us just follow you and fight the battles you have for us. And then as we do approach those battles that look intimidating and impossible, that we would just trust you, knowing that you can handle it. And then, Lord, that we can look back and see what you've done. Thankful for it. God, I pray that you would bless this time of invitation and be glorified by it. Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together, Brother Josh. You go ahead and play Song of Invitation.